In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
On a dusty road that leads down to the grave, the dead only begotten son of a widow was met by the living only begotten Son of God. And in that meeting, death was met by life, and death was conquered. There on that lonely road, death was confronted by Him who is the life of the world, Jesus Christ. The Lord of life contends with the Lord of the grave and triumphs. Life conquers death. That's what we hear in the gospel lesson this morning, and oh, how beautiful and glorious this is to our ears. It means nothing to the unbeliever, but for we who believe in Christ, this means everything. You see, the unbelieving world tries to convince us that death is natural. You even often hear it said that death is just a part of life, an oxymoron if ever there were one. Death is not natural. It is not just a part of life. Death is life's enemy. Death is our enemy. Every death, my friends, is tragic. We need to remember that, for we often get lulled into believing that the only tragic deaths are those that happen suddenly and unexpectedly or prematurely. But the death of a 95-year-old person who has lived a long, full life is just as tragic as the death of a child or a middle-aged person. Every death is tragic. For God did not create us to die, but to live with Him, body and soul, forever. Death has only entered the picture because it is the curse of sin which we have brought upon ourselves. For it is written, "The wages of sin is death." Make no mistake, the reason the widow's son from Nain lies dead in the coffin is because of sin. For the same reason, because of sin, no one will get out of this world alive. Death presses in upon us from the day we are born, for each birthday is nothing more than another day closer to death. You will never outrun death, because the disease of sin which brings death clings to your very being. And so it is that the saying, "The only thing certain are death and taxes," is at least half true. Death is certain. It's a guarantee. For it is written, "There is no one righteous, not one. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." But then comes Jesus the Christ. God did not intend for us to die, so God takes on human flesh to release us from the disease of sin and save us from the nightmare of fearful death. Jesus, the author of life, through whom all things were made, comes to conquer death that we may live. Thus, outside the gate of Nain that day, Jesus stops the funeral procession dead in its tracks. He looks upon the grieving mother, this sad woman who has already buried her husband and is now burying her only son, and He has compassion on her. He says to her, "Do not weep." He's not telling her to be tough, to suppress her emotions. For He Himself grieved and wept openly at the death of Lazarus. Rather, He's telling her, "Don't cry, for I have come to conquer everything that saddens you and makes you feel alone and cut off and hurt and helpless. I am here to wipe away every tear from your eyes." Then Jesus shows her how He will take her grief away. For He goes and touches the open coffin, and those carrying the dead man stand still. With this touch of the coffin, Jesus puts Himself in the place of the grieving widow. He shares in her heartache and the heartache of all those who have lost loved ones. But more, touching his casket, Jesus also puts himself in the place of the only Son. For in so doing, according to the Old Testament law, Jesus is making himself ceremonially unclean with this young man's death. But he allows that mortality to come upon him. He takes the disease of sin which killed this young man upon himself, and at the same time transfers to this young man his own life in exchange. He says to him, "Young man, I say to you, arise." These are the words of the Creator who brings life out of nothing. His word is powerful and effective. It accomplishes what it says. Thus, the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Life conquers death. Jesus revives the widow's dead son by his word. He breathes life into the dead man. He makes alive that which was dead. But there is a price. The penalty for sin must be paid, and the wages of sin is death. Someone has to die. God will have it no other way. He is a just God. He will not overlook sin. And so it is that sometime later, outside of another city gate, this time Jerusalem, the death of another only begotten son takes place. The death of the one who takes the sin of the young man and indeed of the whole world upon himself. There on the cross, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, pays the full price needed for the sin of the whole world with his holy, innocent, and precious blood. And in so doing, he conquers death once and for all, for the tomb cannot hold the very Lord of life. It cannot hold the one who brings life into existence out of nothing. He rises from the tomb on the third day, proving that the sacrifice he made has been accepted by God the Father, and proving that sin is paid for in full. Death is conquered. Death is dead. Life lives. For Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Life conquers death. The widow's son lives. And my friends, those of you who believe in Christ, so do you. For in the same way that Jesus breathed life into the young man's dead corpse, he did with you at your holy baptism. You who were once dead in sin were made alive by the same word that spoke life back into the widow's son. Even as Elijah stretched himself out three times over the Zarephath woman's son, God stretched himself out over you in the threefold application of his name at the baptismal font. There, you were crucified with Christ in order that you might rise with him and live a new and holy life. There at the font, Jesus cleansed you and made you whole and presented you to your mother, the Holy Christian Church. And safe in your mother's arms, Jesus continues to care for you that the life created in you would be sustained. He feeds and strengthens you with his word and with his very body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins, that death may remain conquered in you, that you may live forever. Life conquers death. This means nothing to the unbelieving world, but for we who believe in Christ, my friends, this means everything. The young man of Nain, raised by the word of Christ, would one day suffer physical death again, but it would mean nothing, for Christ took the sting of death away. Though he died, he now lives forever, united with his mother in paradise. so it is with you who believe in Christ. You will die, but it will mean nothing, for the sting of death is now gone. Your body will go into the grave, but your spirit will enter paradise and live. And on the last day, when that glorious trumpet sounds forth, your body will rise, just as the widow's son rose on that fateful day outside the city of Nain. And it will be reunited with your spirit, and you will dwell, body and spirit, forever in paradise. For then, my friends, what God intended in the beginning, will come to pass forever. On that day, all tears will be wiped from our eyes forever. There will be no more pain, mourning, and suffering. Sin will cease to exist. Death will never deal its fateful blow again. Life to the full will be yours forever. Life conquers death. This is the message of Christianity, dear friends. It's not only our hope, but our certainty, our guarantee. On the day Christ raised the widow's son, fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited His people." My friends, our response to this glorious news should be no different. For this same great prophet, Jesus Christ, has visited His people here in this holy place. He has brought us from death to life. Therefore, our report about Him should be spread throughout the whole of Elma and all the surrounding country. May the Holy Spirit enliven us by the power of the gospel to spread this report, so that others may pass from death to life as we have. In Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.